as well just start the recording then.
All right, give me some apple chewing action.
Those are pretzel crisps.
Oh, sorry.
Get your shit together, Steven.
Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that's back at it again. One more go around, just for funsies. I'm your host, Stephen Labine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon, and special guest, Catherine. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Catherine, you're a favorite now.
Yes.
It's official.
It's what the fans wanted. They wanted me back.
We put out a poll and it was you.
Who was the other option?
You were the only option.
Yeah, that's how I like it.
Surprise! You win.
Yes.
We have no fans though. Unless Jared, are you the fan here? Am I the fan?
I kind of am this episode because I know all of the favorites. And that's who had all of the screen time. So it'll kind of just be Catherine's opinions mostly.
And I'm chock full of them.
Chock full of opinions.
Yeah.
What else are you chock full of?
Excitement.
Ooh, there you go. I put you in the worst, like, yes-anding hell.
And yeah. I didn't know if you wanted a physical object or...
Are you chock full of a physical object right now?
Apple and pretzels.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, yeah. That was what we had right before here. Yeah. Apple and pretzel.
Your entire dinner and lunch today, it would seem.
Correct. Girl dinner.
Do you embody the girl dinner, like, aspect of your life?
Oh, no, for sure. Sometimes I just grab a random assortment of crap from the fridge, and I'm like, this'll do. Yum.
All right, one almond,
Whoa, three.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to continue with the one almond, but I guess if three almonds is good, we'll leave it at that.
Tough.
I know that's a bit, but for dinner today, I had three olives, a handful of almonds, and buffalo cauliflower wings.
Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen air fried. No.
Oh, okay.
No, that's just what I had left in the fridge and freezer.
We do the best with what we have. Sometimes the artist life hits too real.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's you just don't want to go to the grocery store in negative 15 degree wind chill.
Oh my God, it's been so cold. Walking to work hurts my face, and I'm outside for 15 minutes.
No, I'll do you one better. A 5-minute walk to work in the mornings, and I'm like shivering by the time the kitchen lets me in.
Sorry, calling in. Can't do it. Mm-mm. It's too far. Well, we are here. We are breaking down season 16. We've been at this for, what, 2.5 years, Jared?
Yeah.
My God.
Yep. This is the first time we've done one of these in person. Want to try that out?
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
Weird to have you so far away from me.
Yeah, usually we're just in the corner, and here we're at a table across from each other, and there's a third person, so we're totally thrown off our rhythm here.
No, I feel like we're negotiating a contract, and I'm Catherine's lawyer.
What did I do? What do we think?
I know. I think it's like your rich husband died under mysterious circumstances.
Brooke Wyndham from Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we're negotiating the estate.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I have questions about your perm right now.
The ammonium thioglycolate did not wear out.
Nice. Have you ever played Elwood's?
No, but I've been called back for Brooke multiple times and not booked it. But one day.
Before
I age out.
Don't say that. Oh, no.
I know.
You would make a good Elle Woods. I think I've said that before.
Oh,
but
thank you. I'd love to. I just need them to lower the end of So Much Better by a half step, and then we're good.
And you can trust I say that because I'm never directing Legally Blonde.
Why not? That's not on your go-to list of things that is artistically fulfilling.
It's a perfect musical.
Yes, there are surely... Oh, no, it is a great musical. I'm not saying it's not a good musical. I am not the director for Legally Blonde that they are seeking.
No, that's T.
Yeah. I don't really do musical theater, and I'm a guy.
Yep.
Two things working against me there.
Well, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to work through Survivor Micronesia Fans versus Favorites, and we're even going to talk about the right episode this time.
Yes.
Yes. Because last time...
Why did I do this to myself?
Last time, we had set this whole thing up. Catherine was here, and we're like, oh, shit. We watched the wrong episode. Oh, no.
That isn't the highest stakes of a fuck-up in my life, but it is one of the worst reveals of a mistake I have made. Having it caught 10 minutes after the mistake has already gone live feels really bad.
That's rough, buddy.
I almost texted you earlier and be like, yep, watch season 12. Just to freak you out.
You did do that!
I meant like again.
Oh my god.
Just double down on the bit.
Yeah. I watched the exact same one as last time just to fuck with you.
But you did do that. Was that to fuck with me? I can't tell where the bit ends anymore.
Maybe I didn't do it.
Yes, and...
Okay, well, this is my personal hell.
Oh, speaking of personal hells, you can email us. Feel free to do so, survivortbt@gmail.com, or can message us on Reddit, u/survivortbt, or on our Patreon. Go look us up, follow us for free, send us things. But we don't need to slow this down any longer. We got a lot to talk about. We do and we don't. It's a weird episode. Like, a lot happened, but it's...
anticlimactic.
Yeah, we know a lot of these people, and it's anticlimactic. Anyway, let's get into it. Bumper.
All right, this episode came out on February 7th of 2008, and we'll talk more about that next episode in the what happened in January and late December between the seasons. Very short turnaround this time.
Yes, I know. That's what we talked about.
Yeah, right.
Because Amanda and James have to spin this back around and be like, all right, let's go.
Yes, Catherine. So Amanda and James, who are... we'll point them on the screen here for you.
I think I didn't know who they were.
You knew who James was.
Yeah. Meet him biblically.
He is a god. He is a Greek god.
No, the abs were crazy.
It's insane. They don't need to wash their clothes. They just do it on his abs.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually the 11th tribe member.
James's abs. That's the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th. Like, you got a full fucking 8-pack going on there. Both of them were in the last season, and that stopped filming, like, very quickly before this one did. Like, they were barely back in America before they were like, all right.
Damn.
You're going back out there.
They did their reunion for last season after filming this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a tight turnaround.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I honestly would just get into it, because right off the bat, Jeff shows up weirdly in negative definition. Like, this is the worst camera of the entire episode, and it's filming Jeff in this helicopter.
Yeah, he loves his returnee seasons getting in a helicopter and being a fucking diva about it.
The man loves a helicopter. Can you blame him? I just have an extra $1 million. Put me in a helicopter, man.
As someone who arrived to every theater audition for the rest of my life.
Perfect. There was someone, speaking of that, arriving but derogatory and something grand, I was at my Goodman audition, and there was a person who had a Cybertruck parked out front. I was like, you can drive that down 2 blocks. Let's set it on fire in front of the Trump building.
Yeah.
Let's get a part two going.
Shout out to Elon for making a truck so bad when it bursts up in flames, people don't know if that's intentional or not.
Should we stop it? Should we put it out? No.
Is that an act of terror, or did it just do that?
That's actually in the programming. Anyway, yeah, Jeff's excited. Hey, we got 10 new contestants. Only 10 contestants. Don't worry about it. Oh, also, we have 10 favorites.
So here's the thing. It's 10 new people, 10 returnees. Okay. But from what we've heard in previous seasons, behind the scenes, all of them are together. They just can't talk. So were these 10 people like, hey, why the fuck is there only 10 of us? Where is everyone else? What's going on?
Yeah, they were definitely isolated from the favorites. Like, they had no idea who these people were going to be prior to them walking in.
Wait, is that sarcasm?
No, I'm serious.
Okay, yeah, I'm pretty sure. So I would be the whole time a nervous mess. Like, why is there only 10 of us? What's going on?
Do you think, like, I don't know, something went wrong? It's only going to be 10 of us. It's going to be a short game.
That'd be very stressful. That'd be very... I'd have... that. Yes, that would go through my head. Everything would go through my head, because I'd be stressed the fucked out the entire time.
It's normally 20 every time?
16. Okay. 16 to 20.
Okay.
Yeah, so having at minimum six less is weird.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I'd probably be like, what fucking bullshit are they pulling? Like, are our family members going to come in unexpectedly and play against us or something? Which is kind of a premise of a later season, I think. But expectedly, yeah. Not unexpectedly.
Yeah. Spoiler for me, who's only seen four episodes.
Well, they're being rowed in by local people, I don't know, on a full-on... What would you call outrigger canoe?
Yeah. What do you think about this, Catherine? This, like, entrance on the canoe with the local people just paddling them in?
I want to know if those people were paid a day rate or if they were just like, you're lucky for being here. Yeah, it was a choice. I mean, it seemed on theme with the shows, considering I haven't watched a lot of it. But, yeah, I just hope those people got paid. That's my number one priority.
Mine, too, actually. I'm glad you said that. Yeah. It always weirds me out a little bit, but it's always like... I don't know. There's a couple seasons where the people have seemed really into it and kind of like take control of it. And there's a couple seasons where I'm like, do you even own some of the clothes that they're saying are the ceremonial garbs, or did Survivor give you these and tell you these are your ceremonial garbs?
Yeah.
But we don't know because they're only around for like 10 seconds and then they disappear into the distance forever.
They literally paddle them to shore, peace out, and say, all right, give me my money now. Bye.
Not a bad gig if you can get it.
I've had worse.
Same.
Yeah, you think they got storefront stipend for that?
Oh, no, way more, unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately for them, though, it starts downpouring as they're starting to pull up to this beach. Mm-hmm. So, like, shit kind of sucks. Even Jeff looks like he's over it a little bit.
It gets really bad there towards the end.
No, uh-huh. He looks like he stepped into a shower and walked out.
So we pull up our 10 fans and... I think let's go over our fans first, because we can.
We'll have much less to say about them, probably.
Exactly. So, here's the section where we call it Reading for Filth. I'm going to read you who these people are, and we have our nice
I know you remember this, Catherine.
Here.
Oh, I know. I need you to zoom in so I can really get the full effect.
There we go. Here is our fans tribe, the Arai tribe, A-I-R-A-I. Starting with Alexis Jones, 24, from Beverly Hills, California, a motivational speaker.
I don't remember them even saying the name of the tribes, like, once.
He said it very briefly.
Okay.
But also we had subtitles on, so we couldn't see it in the corner.
They're just the fans tribe and the favorites tribe. I don't give a shit about their tribe names.
Honestly, fair.
But anyway, Alexis?
Yeah. She's a little bit Alexis.
It's a little close to Alex Jones, which I don't like.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately
looking up if there's a connection there.
That's a really common last name.
Yeah, that's true. She didn't stick out to me that much. If she was on the pyramid, if we're doing Dance Moms, she'd be on the bottom.
Wait, what is that? What is the pyramid on Dance Moms?
The pyramid on Dance Moms, Diva, is when every week after the competition, Abby Lee would get all the girls and all of the moms in the room, and she would rank who did best to last, and everyone wanted to be top of the pyramid.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, I think I'm getting... Can you scroll down the list real quick? Because I want to make sure I'm not getting her mixed up with somebody else, because I probably am. Yeah, I was getting mixed up with Natalie. I don't know who this girl is. Never seen her before in my life.
That's how I feel about some other ones that...
Like, did she have a moment in the episode?
Do any of the fans have a moment in this episode?
Only a couple of them.
Oh, I remember the one.
There's a couple. Mostly brackets derogatory.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay, yeah.
She seems nice and smiley and probably the person that was brought to... either go home early or be an Amanda, a Jamie, somebody that surprises but isn't like a complete out of left field surprise like Courtney.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we're going to move on to Chet Welch, 48, from Ford City, Pennsylvania, a pageant coach.
Oh.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I hate that. Also, the name Chet just makes me think of that one reindeer in the Santa Claus 2. Yeah, I swear it's Chet who, like, farts a lot and eats all the candy.
That sounds like a Tim Allen movie.
Yeah, it's definitely it's in the
Santa Claus.
Yeah. No, like...
The second one specifically.
I don't remember that, but that sounds like it would take place in a Tim Allen movie.
I'll say it. Him in the first one, hot.
Tim Allen in the first Santa Claus? Wait.
Yes.
Pre-Santa Clausification,
yes,
or after?
Specifically when he's standing on the roof in the shorts and the coat and he's like, we got you the Disney Channel. Hot. I know, I don't agree with his political beliefs. Please know that. But I'm just saying. Do you know that that was his first movie?
Was it?
Yes. That was his big break.
Huh.
He got Home Improvement after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Huh.
Hmm.
Fun fact.
Fun fact. Hmm.
Is,
also
now,
fun
is,
fact.
It, is it the fact that he was physically hot, or is it that he got them Disney Channel that does it for you?
I don't know. My daddy issues are coming out, but we don't need to unpack that.
We don't have the time
nor the
for
place.
That.
Yeah.
Nor the place.
This is actually the Survivor Unpack Your Traumas podcast. You didn't know that?
New Patreon goal. please, no.
Anyway, how do we feel about Chet?
Again, did not stand out to me. I don't even remember him.
He's the one, he's the gay one. Like, the one that is
yeah.
Kathy's like,
then
you're
yes.
a homosexual.
Then yes, love him.
Yeah.
I do too. And he takes that so in stride. Like, he is so patient with her.
Oh, I know.
Like, probably way more than he not should be, because it is a social game. You don't want to cause a stink on day one, even if
yeah.
the other person's setting themselves on fire. But, like, he's interesting. He's an interesting guy. I'm excited to see more of him. I'm a little...
I know. I would watch the rest of the season just for him.
He seems like a little bit of a wet noodle. Like, he's going to kind of get, like, like almost, like, rolled over by strong personalities, maybe. But we'll see. Maybe a little bit of a people pleaser.
All right. We hate those people pleasers. Get them out of here. All right, I'm going to leave.
You're a people pleaser, Steven? Name three people pleased with you right now.
Oh, no. Anyway, moving on to... No, Mom. Can we have Sean White? No, we have Sean White at home. This is Eric Reichenbach, 21, from... Oh, my God. How do you even say this name? Oh, it's a Michigan town. Ypsilanti?
Ypsilanti.
That's a terrible name. Why? What is that? What language is that?
It's probably a native language.
Is it? Oh, okay.
I'm guessing.
I was going to say it sounds like Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, it's a Native American language inspired by Dr. Seuss.
Sure, sure. Anyway, he's the ice cream scooper.
Fine, I'm 164th Native American. I'm kidding.
Well, I'm going to see myself out.
I am, though.
Oh, okay.
But it means nothing. I mean, like,
okay, Elizabeth Warren, calm down.
Yeah. Not enough to get you a scholarship in college.
I know. I always make the joke.
Anyway, he's 21 and he's an ice cream scooper.
That tickled me with delight to see ice cream scooper. But also, I said he looks like a Disney Channel star from 2009 with that hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm.
He's got the flow.
But also I was gagged at how like quickly he sprinted in that one challenge. But that helps when you have the body of Jack Skellington.
Yeah, his whole thing of I'm going to be the athletic one is kind of laughable to me. But then you're right. He did do really well. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, maybe.
You know, he slayed cross country.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Big cross country guy. He looks like a like tiki head from the Crash Bandicoot game. And a specific player from Marquesas had a child. The one who wanted to, like, make a community instead of play Survivor and then went home that Pascal, like, adopted as his son.
Sure.
It's fine, Catherine. It's a whole thing. But, yeah, no. I think he's going to flame out. I think that he's going to take this as a sprint, and it is a marathon.
But he is explicitly a cross-country runner.
I meant,
he
like...
He only knows marathon.
I meant, like... emotionally and like strategically and I guess also kind of physically, because it's 39 days. Ain't no marathon 39 days, except for the one. I guess there's extreme marathons, and that's weird.
The fact extreme marathons are weird, or 39 days is weird?
No, extreme marathons.
Oh, okay.
There's a thing one of our listeners wrote in about, that people do marathons that go over several days. You just have to like, you have to take very like regulated sleep to like do it in a specific amount of time.
Oh, hell no.
Would you ever do a marathon?
I would do a regular marathon.
Psychos, all of you. Psychos, all of you.
Psychos, I mean... two of us.
It is a mental disease to want to run a marathon.
I don't think so.
There were literally thousands of people that did it with me.
There's...
Oh, you did it this year?
I did the Grandma's Marathon in Minnesota.
Okay, slight.
Yeah. Nice. I finished. My medal's over there.
My coworker Sylvia did the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, nice.
And she like just started training for it this year.
Oh, okay.
Shout out to you, Sylvia.
Shout out to Sylvia. Ow, ow. I don't know you, Sylvia. Oh. Anyway.
And she does not listen to this show.
You don't know. I'll tell her about it. I'll make her listen.
Nice. All right, moving on.
This is actually Troy and Abed in the morning, for those that have seen Community. There's no... We're not actually even recording. There's no listeners.
There's no structure to what's going on. We're just...
Am I better right now?
Yeah. No, you're... Who's... What's... Joel McHale, I think, is the one who comes in and is like, what are you doing? Or something like that. Yes. Precisely yes. I'm sorry, Stephen. Please continue.
Stephen Jarrett in the morning. It's evening. It's late.
It's later than we typically record.
Anyway, Jason Siska, from 22, from Fox River Grove, Illinois, a gymnastics coach.
22? Be serious. He looks at least 36.
It's the facial hair.
It's giving Theo Vaughn, but like diet Theo Vaughn.
That's so interesting, because in his confessional, he's so baby. Like, he has like baby face and like baby energy that I was like, 22 seems old.
Okay, no, but this first photo, like,
but you're right.
He looks bricked up. Like, he's so thick.
Hey, Catherine, what do you think bricked up means?
Oh, wait, is that like when you're hard?
Yeah, it sure is.
Oops.
That 22-year-old so erect.
I mean, probably, I would hope. Otherwise, you gotta go get things checked out.
Okay, well, besides
you
the fact that...
Cut that out.
No, we're not.
Nah.
We absolutely are not
editing this, so I don't feel good about that.
It's staying in. Cutting. So besides the fact that he's hard, I think he's naive as hell. He's 22.
I don't know about you.
Don't do it.
Do what? I'm sorry?
Finish the song.
What song? I don't know what we're talking about. Anyway...
I don't have high hopes for him. I think he's gonna get...
Do you know
get,
what I was talking about?
Yeah, like the Taylor Swift song,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
He did too. He's...
Never heard of it.
Oh, he's being a little shit.
Yeah, he's being a little shit.
Would never. Anyway, do we have any more thoughts about Jason before I move on?
No.
Naive summer child.
All right. Next one, Joel Anderson, 32, from Avondale, Arizona, a firefighter.
Oh my god, I was looking at Joel for the last one. Anyway.
They kind of look like...
It's like a transition. 10
years
it's a before
future.
And after.
Yeah.
Before he started benching.
Have either of you seen the Grim Adventures of Bill and Mandy?
It's been a while, but yeah.
No.
Okay. The Van Helsing. Van Helsing in that.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
who Joel
yeah.
Looks
I see
like.
What you're saying.
Just big meathead. Looks like a big meathead.
A big man. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
He looks like James brackets derogatory.
I mean,
the
he
or
tattoo.
He looks like the derogatory version of James.
He was absolutely brought in to be the parallel to James.
Yeah.
Like that is his one and only goal is to be James.
This is the really big guy on the fans'
okay.
side.
Yeah.
The one's like, we're going to win every challenge then.
Mm hmm. Mm hmm. And he like tried to make a funny quip before they did the first challenge.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was
yeah.
404 error, mm-hmm. quip not found.
Yeah.
I do good. I move things.
Oonga boonga. Anything else that you stuck out to you about him?
No.
Yeah. He's pretty basic.
All right.
Looks a little bit like Rob from Thailand, actually.
What?
Looks a little bit like Rob from Thailand.
Who is that?
It's from season 5. I hate saying stuff like that. That's for everyone except for you. Literally, everybody listening and for Steven. And it's not for you. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, I forget there are multiple Robs in Thailand. I was thinking of Robaba.
Oh. Wait, the mercenary.
Skater boy?
Yeah, he looks like our skater boy.
What?
I think so.
I disagree.
We can argue about this throughout the season.
It's fine.
And we will.
Anyway, moving on to Kathy Sleckman.
Oh, no.
This diva.
45, from Glen Ellen, Illinois, golf course vendor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She looks like someone I would have worked with at the country club that I did.
Mm-hmm.
She would specifically be in the pro shop and be way too buddy-buddy with the husbands, for sure.
Is this a recurring thing that you've seen at golf stores?
Well,
pro shops?
Well, there's just always, like, that one worker, specifically, I'm gonna call her out by name.
Oh, shit.
Lindsay, who I worked with at Terrace Park Country Club, was always like kissing ass to one member specifically who was married. And it's like, girl, give it up. And she would hate me because he would like joke around with me and liked me a lot. And it's like, girl, why are you jealous of a 22-year-old when you're 45? Also, you used to bang our manager whose best friend, that's her dad. Like, I have no respect for you. Lindsay, anyway. Sorry, that was a tangent, but I have had to get that off my chest. I had to get out in the open.
Do you feel better?
I do.
A weight has been lifted. We have absolutely cleansed some demons today.
Shout out to Jeff Drum, though. Love him. That's the guy.
The manager she banged or the guy?
No, I also love the manager she banged, though. Nick is so funny.
Huh. All right. I don't like Kathy. She's homophobic and weird.
Yeah.
She sucks.
Yeah. Is she homophobic or is she the most ignorant human in the face of the planet?
I would argue that even with ignorance, treating a gay person like they're an animal in an exhibit to like be like, ooh, I've never seen one of you before
no,
is
literally.
Baseline homophobic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, her to be like, I never encountered one. Encountered one? Like, what the... why are you using that vernacular?
Yeah, and there's... it's just something, too, that's, like, so ignorant to say... what was it? Like, I think one of... like, a bartender in the 80s. And, like, you're saying the only other gay person you met was someone during the AIDS crisis? Yikes, man. Come on.
I did love his rebuttal where he was like, that you know of.
Yeah, it's true.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, Chet is more, like, Chet is flamboyant. Like, not every gay person is flamboyant. Who knows how many actual gay people she's run into in life. It's not like Glen Ellyn, Illinois. That's where she's from, right?
Yep.
Is the middle of fucking nowhere. That's a Chicago burb.
Yeah.
Even in 2008, you should have known a gay person.
Have you ever gone into Chicago? There was an entire neighborhood named after a gay culture. Like, girl figured out.
Oh, also, and she was just like crying on the first night. I think that was her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like full on, sobbing. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Literally. I'm like, then why would you go? Crying night one? Man up.
She, unfortunately, would be around till at least episode 3. She won. She got the immunity idol the first time they go to tribal. She will be safe. I don't think she will last any longer than that.
We'll have
who
to
knows
see.
Though? Maybe she's so awful, like at the game, and like it's crazy to me in a game of like that is at its core like a popularity contest in some ways. Like you are, especially in the beginning, if you are not popular, you will be voted off. Immediately, just go around and be that tone deaf. Maybe she's so bad at the game they just keep her around.
Sometimes all it takes is to survive that first vote,
which she will by default,
and you will somehow make it deep into this game. Sometimes the easy votes, the Yao Man of the world, makes it late in the game because, oh, wait, no, he's actually useful. Let's keep him around.
Oh, but people liked him. That's the difference.
Oh, you might have me there. Anyway, moving on to Mary Sartain, 28, from Emeryville, California, a real estate manager.
What do you got, Mary, Catherine?
She's hot.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
This look of I don't know this woman.
She had a confessional, right? I think she talked about like being a fan of the show, but it was very much a okay, we're setting the tone of the theme of the season. We're talk to the fans about being fans and talk to the favorites about being favorites confessional. That told us nothing about her.
Yeah, she was one of the most reactive when the favorites came out. But that's about it. That's about all you get from her.
What did you say her job was?
She is a real estate manager.
Ugh, I don't trust her.
Because she's a real estate manager?
Listen, everyone who peaked in high school gets into real estate. Well, that's not true. Everyone who gets into real estate peaked in high school.
Squares are rectangles. Rectangles are,
yeah, exactly.
Are not
exactly.
Squares. I get it.
Yeah. I had to judge her in some way. That's
sure.
All I got.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay. Hot, peaked in high school. Heard.
At least she's still hot, though. Sometimes you're like hot in high school and then you grow up and then you look back and they still look the same and you're like, actually, maybe you weren't that hot.
Okay, moving on to Mikey B. Michael Bortone. Oh, sorry. No, that's right. 33 from L.A., an aspiring writer.
He is 16 going on 33. That is a baby face.
How many screenplays do you think he has written in at Starbucks?
Oh, they know him by name at his local Starbucks, for sure.
Mm-hmm. What do you think his niche is, his script? What's the thing that's really going to break, set him apart?
I think he thinks that he's very funny.
Okay.
Whether or not he's actually very funny, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I think that he writes stoner comedies.
Okay, I see that for him.
But he's never smoked weed in his life.
He took an edible once and had a bad reaction. But he was like, I know marijuana.
It's not for me, but I know it. I've been there. I've rode the dragon.
He actually grows up to be Alex Brightman, Beetlejuice.
Stop.
He kind of looks like it, though.
No, that is giving. The first one is giving headshot.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so headshot. Yeah. I mean, he did. I feel like he can only break one of two ways because he's like, there was something intriguing about him on camera to be the most, or one of the more annoying contestants on the season. Or a likable character we kind of follow throughout the course of the season. I don't think he's a serious contender, but we'll see. It's difficult to tell with this fans tribe because they've all, in this first episode, given the perspective of, like, geeking out about the show and not anything about who they are or what they are, what their strategy is, or alliances or anything like that, except for everyone's like, fuck Kathy.
Going off of Steve's comment, I would say definitely would cast as Thénardier.
Oh, yeah. I see him. Give him a silly hat and we're good to go.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Moving on to Natalie Bolton, 31, West Hollywood, California, a personal trainer.
So she's an actor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do we think it's Michael Bolton's daughter?
My God, I wish.
Can't rule it out. Well, we could if we looked it up.
But we're not going to because I love the air of mystery.
And I don't like being fact-checked.
Oh, okay, Trump.
I do want you to see her headshot on this. Look at this.
Body, yada, yada.
Yeah. Body, yada, yada.
She is
also
serving...
the low-rise jean. I wish I could pull that off.
Don't sell yourself short. I'm sure you could. I don't know anything about fashion, though, so don't take it from me.
I would just be sucking in the whole night, and I would not be happy.
Oh, well...
I would have to have not eaten the entire day, and then I'm having two martinis and oysters.
Interesting. I think we just learned a lot about you, Catherine. She has an interesting face. Like, I mean, like, she sticks out in the crowd of people. Like, I remember her, despite her not doing anything. Maybe it's because she's stuck in a constant smolder. I don't know.
She just has that smolder look. It's not this, but when I... a long time ago read the Hunger Games books, when they're describing the fox-faced girl, this is kind of what I imagine. It's not that, but it's like some animal adjacent where you're like, there's something about you.
She looks like she should be starring in the Resident Evil movies.
Next to Mila Jovovich.
Yes. Not Joss Whedon. Who's the director of those movies?
Couldn't tell you.
Well, his wife. That's who his wife is that stars in
those.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, that's why he keeps making those bad movies.
She looks like she'd be number two killed in a horror movie.
Oh, so she'd be the bitchy one?
Yeah.
Gotcha. That's about Natalie.
That's about Natalie. And finally, Tracy Hughes Wolf, 43, from Fredericksburg, Virginia, a residential builder. I almost said butler, but it is very much not that.
I don't know why, but she annoys me.
Agreed. The third picture, she looks like Cheryl Hines. Who we all know is married to RFK Jr.
Ah, I did not know that. I learned that right here, right now.
Is she still on Curb?
Is Curb still going?
I don't think Curb's still going.
Okay, but was she on it?
She was on, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I want to know how David liked working with her after she married that man.
Well, he used to be just known as like an environmental lawyer, and that wasn't a problem. And then, don't get worms in your brain, kids. Yeah, I don't remember a lot from her, but something tells me during the episode she annoyed me and will continue to annoy me.
Mm.
That's all I got for her. She gives a little bit of Karen vibes.
Yeah, I concur.
Can we just, sorry, side tangent with all the election stuff going on. Can we just, like, take a moment that the world isn't talking about how there were multiple salutes of the German persuasion going on.
The world's talking about it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. The American media is not talking about it in a way that they should be.
Yeah.
We're talking about sensationalism, and it's so much worse.
I cannot even. I sent it to my mom, and she goes, AI. I went, girl.
No.
I fear it's not. And then she was like, he was just like sending his heart out. And I was like that? And then my mom sent me screen grabs of like Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, and Elizabeth Warren like mid doing something that looks like it's a salute, but it's clearly not. And it's taken out of context, whereas his is very deliberate.
It's a video, not a
picture. Yeah, not a still. Like, yeah.
Oh, hey, I'm waving out to the crowd versus boom, slap heart immediately to straight arm. And you're like... Hmm. You're like, okay, wait. I don't know. You could maybe try to explain away one. Turning around and doing it again.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
No, exactly. And then my mom loves to be like, you're so misinformed. And then when she sent me the screen grabs, I was like, maybe you're the one that's misinformed.
Oh.
It's a really bad place to be when the best possible explanation of events is like trolling. Like, the best possible version of that is trying to get a rise out of people from somebody that is very important in our government for reasons beyond my comprehension now.
Trolling and committing a crime in most Europeans.
He could give every single person on this planet $1 billion, and it would make no difference to him. Because there's 8 billion people in the world, and yeah.
Numbers that big are impossible for us to understand, and I saw someone break down the math that if you go from the moment that Jesus was born, like the historical real person Jesus was born, to now, and you made $1,000 an hour, you would have less money than Jeff Bezos.
Hold on, I want to go back to this, because I don't mean to call you out, Catherine, because that's not fair. How much money did you say he could give to each person?
$1 billion?
To each person in the world?
$1 million, probably.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say.
I don't think that's true.
I think $1 million... Maybe it's every person in America.
Because he's, wait, how much?
He has trillions.
He doesn't have trillions yet.
Nobody's the trillions yet that we know of.
Oh, I swore Elon.
But I think he's up there. He's
it's
at
close.
Like 600 billion to 800 billion.
Yeah.
I can't do that math, so you might be right. I hate to call it. I'm not gonna back
math
on
is hard.
This. I'm not doing math right now. It's too late. Anyway, that's our fans.
That's Tracy.
That's Tracy. Sorry, Tracy, that your conversation.
This podcast now banned in the United States. Soon,
we'll get there. Hey, we'll wear it as a badge of honor. Anyway,
hell yeah. Go ahead and boo me. I've seen what makes you cheer.
So they're all lined up. They're like, "Who are you? You're gonna find out who you're gonna play against. Bring out the favorites." It's we'll go alphabetically here, but we know these people. It's starting with Amanda Kimmel, 23, from LA. It doesn't give a job here, but from Survivor China.
What do you think of Amanda, Catherine? Because I have talked about Amanda a lot. She was just on last season.
Okay, knowing nothing about her,
yeah.
I wrote in my notes specifically, my bisexual dream is her and James.
She is a former pageant queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's hot.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway from most women.
I mean, you're right.
She's the one that's flirting with Ozzy.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
She does also still have the sunburns from Survivor China, so it
hilarious.
Was not too long ago. Rough. Anyway.
Yeah, that turnaround, man, it really cannot be overstated how rough that shit must be on your body going from one season of Survivor where people are like, after one season they're usually fucked up, to do it like a month later or something ridiculous, or 2 months, or
especially making it to the end, the final vote, having almost no rest, and then like, all right, let's turn around and do it again.
She almost won.
She was a finalist.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm excited for her, although I feel like I kind of spoiled myself, because we saw the reunion, we know that she made it to the end and she had already filmed this season by that point, and I was like, she doesn't look that malnourished up there, so she probably doesn't make it very far. But we'll see. I could be wrong.
We're going to find out.
They could be well fed as well. It seems like there's a lot of fish here, and they have Ozzy.
Yeah, they made a joke about having 3 courses.
Could be real.
Could be real.
I would rather starve than eat a fucking, like, the clams out of the fucking shell that they had, but that's just me.
You are wrong. I eat the food.
Oh, it looks so slimy.
That's how your ancestors did it.
We used to have men in this country.
Oh my god.
My family's Polish. We weren't anywhere near the sea.
How far is Poland from the sea?
I think it's landlocked. I could be wrong. It could be north. It could. There could be northern, but I don't.
There might be.
Listen,
that,
I'm American. I don't need to know geography.
Oh no. Okay. Anyway,
you don't need to know anything. We're getting rid of the Department of Education.
It's the Gulf of America now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Excuse me.
Hillary Clinton laughing at that.
I hate it here.
Moving on to Amy Cusack, 34, from Golden, Colorado, from Vanuatu. It's been a while.
The first picture is giving Facebook profile picture of a girl who lives in Ohio and peaked in high school. I know because I know someone who looks exactly like that.
Okay.
Being
okay.
From Cincinnati.
Did you have any opinions on her through the episode?
No.
Okay. She doesn't get a lot of screen time. It's interesting to see who does and doesn't get screen time on the favorites. Mm-hmm. Mostly because there isn't really a vote, so they just kind of get to pick whoever they want to show off. Yeah, Amy kind of gets buried. We get a little scene of her kind of talking strategy, mm-hmm. But she's not the biggest personality on this tribe, so we'll see.
It's hard to do. There's one very bright, gleaming personality going on right now.
There's a couple.
Yes, but there's one that they're trying to highlight real bad.
I want to hear her talk about Eliza, because they were on the same season, Amy and Eliza, and they had a tumultuous relationship. So I'm interested to see, like, what that will look like this season. Or not, if they just kind of ignore each other.
Sure. All right, moving on to Ceree Fields.
Yes.
My queen.
37 from Norwalk, Connecticut. From Panama.
I don't know how old I thought she was, but 37 feels right.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could be anywhere between, like, 29 and 45. So, yeah, all right.
She's got mom energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what do you think about Ceree?
I mean, my fan favorite, because she's the only one that I know. So.
Fair, fair. Yeah.
Queen.
I love her. We get none of her this episode.
No, we really didn't, and I was kind of pissed.
We get one confession, and that's it.
And yet.
About her having no strategy.
And yet she, as Jared pointed out, is in a really good spot.
Yeah, she's now the most important person on that tribe. Because if you didn't track, they have the two alliances of four, and it was supposed to be Johnny Fairplay and her in the middle, and Johnny Fairplay went, I'm gone, deuces, for no reason. So now Ceree is the swing vote between the two four-person alliances that will be power brokering, I think, the rest of the game. Because I don't think the fans have really much of a shot. But we'll see.
All right. Then moving on to Eliza Orleans, 24, from Manhattan, New York, from Vanuatu.
What's the occupation?
Occupation, law school student.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, she was in pre-law.
I couldn't remember because I thought it was like lawyer or law school, but then I was like, am I just thinking that she's Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend again?
She's the one with James, right?
No.
No, okay.
No, she's the one that has the blue bathing suit and is talking about, that was the one that they were thinking, that they were going to go after, that James and the rest of them were going to try to vote off.
Oh, okay.
She's dangerous. We gotta get rid of her.
One with the teeth.
Don't they all have those?
Okay, well, she has a really big smile, so I was trying to see if I could do some memory callback. Clearly did not stick out to you at all.
No.
Interesting. I feel like she, in Vanuatu, was very genuine. I feel like she has been coached. It feels like she's putting on some type of facade always. Like, confessionals, tribal, at camp. Like, it feels like she is performing for the camera in this first episode. Just an interesting change. We'll see if it sticks.
We'll see.
It's also, like, she could just be performing for the new people. Like, trying to make the best first impression. So, we'll see.
Again, it can't be stated enough that most of these people know each other already and have been at tons of events together.
That's true. I forgot about that.
So there is that. Anyway, moving on to someone that you definitely remembered, James Clement.
All right, I'll just sit back. Kevin, you want to take the mic for the next 15 minutes?
30 from Lafayette, Louisiana, also from China.
He's a grave digger.
No.
Yeah. That is his occupation.
That's wild. Yeah, I mean, I've said what I need to say. We all know. I've said enough sexual things on this podcast so far that I don't need to degrade him anymore than I'm sure every watcher has.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But it was, yeah, watching him just like, whoa.
What Daria did China, was our guest for China. Okay. And when we got to James, the light, it returned to her eyes from like the just, or lit up more. Yeah, she had life in her eyes before. Jeez. But like, it was intense. And yours was as well. So this is the effect he has on women, it would seem. Yeah, I mean, from the reunion too, that some Jeff pointed out something similar too of like, oh, you're kind of like a celebrity in America now. Like, what's it like? He's like, oh yeah, like old guys and kids recognizing. He's like, just them. And he goes, ah, women too. I think James found the person that's going to help him go far in this game.
Do you think it does him a service or a disservice that people didn't get to see him play?
I would say what they saw made it look like he wasn't playing the game at all. And then he went, oh, this is what we're doing. Oh, this is Survivor. Mm-hmm. And that stuff hadn't come out when this started filming. So sure. I think it helps him quite a bit.
Okay.
And I think he needs someone with like direction that has his back, and that's Parv, until she probably stabs him in the back, let's be real. Because that woman's a fucking straight-up killer.
All right, moving on to the man himself, Johnny Fairplay, 33, from L.A. and from Pearl Islands.
What do you think of Johnny Fairplay?
He pissed me off. And when I tell you, I literally, finally that I saw him tonight, I was like, if they ever did like a play version of this, Will Leonard would play this bitch.
Yeah, oh yeah. My God,
1,000%. Why would you come on if you have a girlfriend who's 7 months pregnant already, and then you're like eating yourself up to it? Like, either just stick to it or not even come in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then he's doing all this shit where he's like, oh, you know, we're gonna trick him, blah blah blah. I'm like, I'm clearly he did this in the past, on a past season, but is, yeah, with the grandma, what the hell was
okay,
that?
Okay, so let me tell you very quickly, because our listeners already know, in his season he got to the family visit, mm-hmm, and his friend came on, and he was like, they had a pre-planned bit that his friend was going to show up, and that was the person he had selected to come on the family visit. But his friend was going to say that he was the alternate to come on the family visit, and it was supposed to be Johnny's grandmother, but she passed away while he was filming. And so his friend was like, quote unquote, breaking the news that his grandma had passed away. His grandma had not passed away. Also, I don't think Johnny told his grandmother he did this until the episode aired. So his grandma was watching the episode and went, what the fuck? And it's like an infamous lie in Survivor and like reality TV show history, because it got him, they gave him the reward. Like, all the contestants were like, we're just not going to play. We'll just give it to him so he can be with his friend and like hear the stories of it. And got him a lot of like goodwill in the game. And he was the whole time on confessionals being like, I pulled him over on those stupid idiots. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I have thoughts, but we'll kind of get there at the end because he goes home.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have many questions about why he came on at all.
Yeah,
from the moment he stepped on screen, I was just like, he's tired. Like, this is not a, like, in this first season on Catherine, he was playing this like character. He's playing like a wrestling character, like larger than life, a villain. And this time he just seemed kind of like half-hearted, and I was like, oh, that's not the guy I saw a few seasons ago on this show. I mentioned this on our bonus episode, but I had seen this one episode of Micronesia, and I'd forgotten I had seen it because I had watched a full season. My partner at the time and I watched this episode, and they took the seasons off Netflix. And the reason why I didn't know I had seen this season is because I didn't know any of these people. But I was like, I remember in the back of my mind when I was like half watching this, because I certainly was watching it very differently than when I'm watching it writing notes and shit. I was like, oh, they sent the fuckboy home. It didn't click with me until we got to the end of China. I was like, oh, that was that season. Oh, that's that fuckboy.
We had him on the show and we talked to him. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. We did an interview with him a couple years ago.
He might actually just be like, yeah, I was that fuckboy.
I didn't know him at the time. I hadn't seen Pearl Islands. So I was just like, who's that fucking douchebag?
Oh, Johnny Fairplay. He's that douchebag. Anyway, moving on to Jonathan Penner. 45, from L.A. He is from Cook Islands.
He looks stoned as hell in that second pick.
That's just kind of his vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a teddy bear.
Hmm. You think he's a nice guy?
Maybe not in that way, but he just, I don't know. Wow. I don't know what I'm saying.
I see what you do to me now.
Isn't that fun?
It is kind of fun, yeah. Wow.
Wait, you're doing what
because,
he does?
Because I know him. I've seen him in another season.
Oh, okay.
And you said that, and like, I think he's crotchety as hell from the other season. But you haven't seen that, and Steven does this to me all the time because he's seen all of this. Ah, yes. The trappings of my future therapy. He's the same man he was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%. He hasn't changed. He's just Jonathan Penner. And he will continue to be Jonathan Penner.
He's a crotchety guy that they give a million confessions to.
He is very good at articulating.
Wait, did he have the fedora on?
Yes.
That, oh my, girl, what did I say specifically? Giving community theater production of Clue.
I'll take that. Yeah, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah, the fedora's not a look.
No.
Any look's a look if you decide to make it.
We should try to be encouraging.
We should get Steven a fedora.
No.
Low-key, I think he'd rock it.
Oh. I do not.
No, but in a way that like a choir kid would. Oh. With so much confidence.
No, he would look like, who's the queer one in High School Musical?
Oh, Lucas, Gabriel.
Yes.
Ryan.
Ryan, there we go. Yes, Ryan, that's what we were getting there. He would look like Ryan.
I'm right here. I'm Sharpay. I'm ready. Let's go.
Something is really...
Something's not right.
Really... Oh, we did it backwards. Damn it. Oh.
There's so much musical theater energy in this room.
Would never.
You're welcome.
Anyway, speaking of musical theater energy, Ozzy Lusp, 26, from Venice, California. He is also from Cook Islands.
Actually, you're right. He does give the straight guy that does musical theater in high school to meet women.
What's his 16-bar cut, Steven?
Ooh. He's giving a little bit of Aaron Tveit in those shots, so mm-hmm. It might be Superboy and the Invisible Girl.
Ooh, yeah.
Hmm.
That feels right. He also definitely has auditioned for Fiero multiple times.
Ooh, I could see that. Yeah.
I would imagine him being a good dancer.
Yeah. Oh, what I would give to be the book underneath Jonathan Bailey's foot.
That song did make me pregnant. Yeah.
Yeah. When he's like,
we're talking about Dancing Through Life from the Wicked movie, by the way.
If they don't know that, they can click off now.
The intersection of musical theater and Survivor is not two separate circles, but it is. There's a little bit of overlap.
Now add in football.
One of the biggest. Yeah. One of the biggest movies of the year, you have to know.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? But apparently it's not going to win. Well, I mean, it didn't win the Golden Globe.
Golden Globes are sometimes trash, though.
Yeah.
I also saw clips from
Penis
the one...
Penis to Vagina. Yeah. I see. What the hell is that?
What is that?
That's the one that won. I don't remember the name of the movie.
But it's with Selena Gomez.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's about a transsexual drug cartel leader in Mexico.
Huh. And it's a musical for some reason.
Okay. I want more musicals, but I want them to be musicals for a reason.
Yeah.
Not just because we wanted to put a song in something.
And I've only seen that clip, so I'm not going to judge it from that clip. The one clip that was going around when they announced, like, this is the winner, it's real bad.
Yeah.
It's real bad. It's like if, who's the Hamilton guy again? Sorry.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It's as if Lin-Manuel Miranda rocked up drunk and a little cross-faded one day and was like, oh, fucking penis, vagina, and sex change operation.
Wait, have you seen the video
of...
Have you guys seen the video of, I don't remember how to say his name, David Diggs?
Yeah,
okay. Performing drunk at the White House.
No.
Years and years and years ago. And,
no,
like, before
but
Hamilton
I must.
Was, oh, I'll try to find the TikTok. TikTok is back, for those of you that don't know.
When I opened that app.
We're back on it.
Thanks to President Trump.
Yeah.
Propaganda.
Welcome to techno-fascism.
Yeah. Also, all the tech companies are bowing down.
We all know
Even Diet Coke, and I'm sick about it.
They did?
Well, I mean,
the fuck did they do?
They gave him something, but then he also has like a Diet Coke button when he's in the Oval Office, which, like, I mean, me, but the fact that he's doing it, yuck.
We all know that Wicked's gonna lose to Avenue Q anyway for the Oscar.
Nice. That's well, now we have to make an Avenue Q movie and just like rush it to get it out there just for the bit.
True.
Please. Anything.
Anyway, okay. Any final thoughts about Ozzy?
Yeah, what did you think about Ozzy, Catherine?
Yeah, again, thought he was hot.
Oh, yeah, he is. He is very hot.
Yeah.
And bisexual.
Hell yeah.
I know, right? Ugh. He looks a lot like Boston Rob now with his haircut, which is not someone that you know, Catherine. I'm so sorry. But I liked him better with long hair.
I agree.
I like a short-haired man, so I'm glad I didn't see him with long hair.
I think he would have done it for you, actually.
Okay, was he giving Tarzan? Was he giving Brendan Fraser in George of the Jungle?
A little bit, yeah. Steven's going to pull a picture for us, because so that's vitally important.
Yeah, so that's from his first season.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
See what he's rocking
like
there.
Like messy long.
Yeah, so I thought it was going to be like shoulder length.
No, this is like early 2000s.
Yeah, where's the puka shell necklace, bitch?
He definitely had one of those.
Yeah. Anyway, that's Ozzy. Moving on to Parv Shallow.
Her last name's not Shallow.
It is.
That, fuck off. I think I had the same reaction the first time, but...
Parvati Shallow, 25, from Los Angeles. Every one of these fucking favorites are in L.A.
Yeah.
Also from Cook Islands.
Because they got famous off Survivor and they moved to L.A.
Yeah.
When they cut to that clip of her in her previous season where she's in the hot tub with two guys, I was like, okay, challengers were...
One of those was Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Naked in a hot tub.
And Yule was not having it. The other guy in the hot tub was like, he's like, I'm here to win $1 million, please. Please stop this.
And he did.
And he did. Yeah, what else do you think about Parv?
I know she's the one with James.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, good for her. Her, like... flirty energy was kind of annoying me because it was like a little bit put on, but also I'd be doing the same thing, so I can't judge you, girl.
Hmm. It's interesting because I am an easy mark, apparently, because I did not think it was put on. Apparently, I'm easy to manipulate. Good to know. I like Parv. I think I like to see her take her strategy from the first season, which is manipulate the men and go further with that.
Snaps for that.
Yeah. Hey, it's a good strategy.
Take it, run with it.
I think she can go really far. I think she could be the winner. I mean, I also kind of know that she's like a Survivor legend, so that's tough.
Okay. And then finally, Yao Man Chan, 55, from Martinez, California, from Fiji.
Loved this king. Like, so relatable, so real, so raw, one might say. I'll talk about that, I'm sure, later, but no, I respect him.
Yeah. I mean, I love Yao Man. He's just a dude. He's just a dude doing his best.
He's just living his life.
And a quirky old man that is punching above his weight class in challenges and everyone kind of loves and doesn't think is a threat, but is actually a huge fucking threat in the game.
Setting fires. Driving down California in his truck. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, no.
He, in his season, he won the challenge that would have given them a truck. Mm. And he gave it to the contestant that was previously homeless. And he said, basically, like, hey, but if you win the final immunity challenge, you have to give it to me. Mm-hmm. And the guy did win the final immunity challenge and did not give it to him. And they voted Yao Man out.
No.
So he was... A deal got broken... Dreams went back on his promise, and otherwise Yao Man would be a winner and have $1 million.
Thus making Yao Man one of the most liked humans on the face of the planet.
Yeah, no. Now I respect him even more.
Yep. Anyway, that's our cast.
It's man, that favorite tribe's fucking stacked.
It's a very attractive tribe, too. Like,
oh, yes. They cast for to pop on TV, for sure.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So cool. Anyway, we're rocking up here. We're absolutely drenched. Jeff's like, hey, go over there. Your boats are across this waterway here. Also, there are idols hidden over there. Good luck. Bye.
Hidden is a strong word.
We
put them on the boat.
Yeah. So everyone sprints across this waterway. What's his name?
Eric.
Eric makes a very pointed effort. I just want to beat Ozzy. That's all I want.
He does.
He does. Oh, yeah.
Weirdly enough, he outswims him.
I mean, the man is in shape, very clearly. He can make it work athletically from that standpoint. Do you think the man's ever been in a weight room?
Oh, maybe to run on the treadmill.
Me.
It was interesting to see how, and I didn't clock it for all of them, like, who got reactions from the fans as they came in. Like, mm-hmm. James and Yao Man were clearly the favorites.
The big reactions.
And Parv got, like, nothing. And Johnny Fairplay got booed. Basically. Yeah.
And Amy, like, her one clip of her playing from the other season was just like, and Amy, just so you know, Amy Gay.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And Amanda got golf claps.
You couldn't have shown any of her gameplay. Yeah, Amanda got golf claps.
The most important thing about Amy is apparently that she's a lesbian, according to Survivor.
Yeah, and one final thing before we move from to the other side of the channel. Johnny is the last one shown.
He wore a hat that said, "We'll lie for food," which is a bold choice on a game where you don't want people to think you're lying to them.
Yeah.
I respect the choice. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah. Jeff calls him out, like, "Are you dressing like me?" He's like,
"Oh, yes.
Ah, who knows? Maybe I am. Maybe I want to run this game, Jeff." It's like, I like to know that you have aspirations to get out of your current place in life.
Yeah, that was a good reason.
That was pretty scathing.
Yeah, Jeff doesn't like him.
No.
You can just tell that Jeff doesn't like him and that Johnny's tired right away.
So everyone's across. They're looking for this idol. Johnny clocks that it's on the boat. So he grabs the idol from the boat, realizes that it's the fan's idol, and he can't have that. So he goes to grab the other one, and Yao Man tackles him to the ground.
Yeah, no, I loved that. And someone was like, "He's mean, blah, blah, blah." It's a competition, bitch. Oh,
Fairplay was saying that he was mean.
Oh, okay.
Fairplay said that the most likable human on the planet is mean. So just take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But you could even tell that he didn't believe it.
No.
He doesn't really care, even in this scene. It's painful to watch, to be frank.
Yeah. And they then go off in their separate ways, go to their beaches, and everyone just dogpiles on Johnny Fairplay from the fans' tribe. Like, they spent an entire scene just being like, "Fuck, why is Johnny Fairplay here?"
Yeah, like, "I want to kick him in the shins," or "Fuck that guy." I'm like, "God damn, okay, we're just burying him."
Yep. We then describe our fans' tribe: the Hulk, Bon Jovi in his prime, Big Bird, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
That's hilarious, and I'm glad if they hadn't brought Queer Eye back, I probably wouldn't have gotten that reference at this point in time. Catherine, would you be a villain if you were on reality TV? Would you try to be? Because I feel like you could go to that archetype if you wanted to.
I could if I wanted to, but I'm also such a people pleaser that I don't know. I feel like I just want to be there for the laughs. I just want to be the jester, you know?
The humble court jester that every show needs.
Yeah, and because I make them laugh, they'll like me, and then they'll, like, you know.
Hmm. Okay.
But then maybe I'd also use my looks to manipulate men.
A comedic Parv.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, do what you gotta do, man. Like, go in, own that game. This is where Kathy says, "My first gay friend, hooray."
Oh, when she said, "I've never seen them up close," direct quote.
Big yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucked. Yeah. Every part of this scene sucked.
And not only the audience is acknowledging how bad she is, like, the tribe is being like, "My God, she just continues to put her foot in her mouth."
Yeah.
And Survivor has a good history of queer contestants and, like, them being treated well and, like, this is the first weird reaction I can think of in a very long time to a contestant being queer that we've seen on camera. Like, mostly everyone's just chill if it gets brought up at all. Like, who the winner from last season before this was gay. Probably still is. That's not even brought up once by anything other than the show calling him a gay Mormon flight attendant. Like, I can't remember...
Period.
I can't remember anyone on the show except, you know, maybe, like, John or Bear said something weird about it. But we have this moment of Kathy just being a fucking freak who's a fan of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Who has seen gay people in these seasons.
But just not up close.
But just not up close.
I'm gonna be fully transparent. I was, like, doing my makeup as I was watching it. And this scene made me stop my track. I said, rewind.
Hold up. What was that?
James, hilarious. What was that?
Yeah. So, Kathy does her best. Oh, Kathy's the other one who found the idol. Picked it up from the ground.
Yeah, so she can't go home the first vote that they have.
Yeah. It's probably good for her, because...
Bad for everyone else.
Things are looking not great.
In Duloc.
That was for Steve. That was great. I like that. Thank you. So, over on the Favorites Tribe, this is a well-oiled machine. This is a group of people who've done this before, who know what to do, get in, get out, and they finish it quickly. They finish it efficiently. James is fucking chopping down trees left and right because he can.
Mm-hmm.
Just rip them in half.
Yeah.
People
stopped and ogled him while he was just chopping trees.
Like, would you not?
My God, the man is perfect. Bah, bah, bah! Three trees.
There's a lot of very strong personalities on that tribe that so far are not in conflict, but it all starts to come out in, like, positive complementary ways to each other in this episode, but I'm clocking something going, this seems like kindling is being set out that later will be caught on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people kind of clock it too. Eliza's saying, hey, we have a good group. I think we can win this. Parv's like, I better win. I didn't come out here to starve for nothing. Yeah, she talks about her flirty but smart gameplay that she's rehashing what she did last time, but we're going to be better about it. We're going to be more intelligent about who we flirt with and when we flirt. And then immediately flirts with James.
Well, she says, she's like, there's only one man to flirt with here. Which, if we go through the rest of the men on the Favorites very quickly, Jonathan Penner, yeah, he's out. They fucking hate each other from their season, and he's older and married. Ozzy already knows, they already know each other, so for some reason she decides that's not a thing. Yao Man, old and married. Is that all of the men
Johnny
besides
Fairplay.
James? Oh, and yeah, and Johnny fucking Fairplay. Like, yeah, okay, yeah, there's James. That's it. There's James.
And what a hard
thing to do. Oh no. Oh no, there's just James. Oh,
shucks.
James calls her a sex kitten type of girl.
Oh yes, that was crazy.
James has a way with words.
Sometimes not a good way.
In a derogatory term.
That Louisiana.
Yeah, right.
He's really funny a lot of the time, and then sometimes you're like, did that just come out of
your
mouth?
Hold up, wait, roll that one back real quick for me, James. Oh yeah, that's right, you're from Louisiana. Yep, okay.
My man. Okay. Who
brackets derogatory.
Yeah, and Amanda and Ozzy hit it off. They're also cuddling. Everyone cuddles in the shelter. Eliza's spying all of this and be like, oh no.
Showmances.
Mm-hmm. Penner was really funny. Good night, Favorites. Meanwhile, at the Fans Tribe, had to make their shelter in the dark. It was bad.
Yeah.
The storm came in and rained on them all night. Kathy's maybe quitting.
We get a lot of Favorites have the advantage throughout this episode. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they lose the challenge. I wonder if that's a one episode thing or... Like, it feels like they could get ahead, get picked off, become the underdogs, and then a Favorite wins. But I just wanted to note that, because it's constant, like, oh, we're so good at this, we're so good at that, we're so good at this. I'm like, well, this is setting up for something. Like, you don't put in six confessionals about how good the Favorites are and how much advantage they have for no reason. Right?
Unless you set them up for failure.
Yeah, it could be that, too. I'm really determined that the Favorites are going to win a lot of this.
Okay, so yeah, we really just dog on those fans for a little bit. we split the favorites section where it's like, okay, this is our four, Amy Penner, Eliza, Yao Man, but we need a fifth. Maybe Johnny Fairplay could be that fifth. And then we do the exact same thing on the other side where it's James, Parv, Eliza, and
Amy.
You're like, maybe Johnny Fairplay could be our fifth.
And Suri masterfully blending into the foliage once again.
It's the Simpsons meme. Just lean back into it. Yep. And, yeah.
Penner wanting Fairplay. I would pay money to watch the two of them just talk for, like, 2 hours. Because they could not be more different. Grouchy old guy and fuckboy? Yeah, please. Please.
New buddy. Buddy cop.
New buddy cop.
That does seem like that would be interesting, wouldn't it? Just put them on a tribe and let them just talk.
Yeah.
No challenges, just talking.
No challenges, only talking. That is the challenge. Fairplay.
Filibuster until one of them gives up.
Just gonna run through the Fairplay quotes. I'm a very likable person, a nice person. I just know how to lie.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yep. He immediately, like, he's told from the Eliza, that group, like, hey, be our fifth. And then immediately goes to the other five and is like, they want me to be their fifth. I want to be your fifth.
Play both sides, so I always come out on top.
Hell yeah, brother. He also says, 9 other survivors, and they all believe what I say. Have they not watched the show before? That's pretty good.
At least you're self-aware.
He's very self-aware. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of Johnny Fairplay confessionals.
We have to.
I guess.
We gotta milk that for what it's worth before he goes away.
Yeah.
And if it's not Johnny Fairplay talking, it's people talking about Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, this really is just the Johnny Fairplay episode.
Then I don't have to ask you the question later.
Fair, yeah.
I will anyway. And Ed Penner's like, hey, Johnny Fairplay needs us more than we need him, and that puts us in a good spot. Theoretically, it does. Unfortunate that it doesn't work out that way.
Good read.
Yep. And then Yao Man starts a fire with his glasses.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. The man is smart. The man is good at surviving.
Would you even think to do that?
Oh, hell no.
Wait, we've talked about this before, that you would not want to go on Survivor.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. More of a big brother kind of girly.
Yeah, I enjoy showers.
That's fair, me too.
Yeah.
Wait, have you ever been to, I know you've been to Lala, but that's in Chicago. Have you ever been to a music festival where you're like out? Like camping or anything like that?
I would never do that.
Okay. Because I did 4 days at Electric Forest and I did a shower halfway through, and I will say that was the best fucking shower of my life.
Did you have to pay for the shower?
Yeah. It was $10.
Oh.
It was worth it. It was fucking worth it. The first time I did 3 days, no shower. And you just kind of have to mentally prepare yourself that you're going to be really gross.
Listen, one thing about me is that I unfortunately have some bad BO if I don't, you know.
Mm. I still like put on deodorant. I did like the water bag, like, oh yeah, like wipe yourself off.
Yeah, but the thought of being like drenched in my own filth for multiple days with, yeah. Mm-mm.
I'm with you on that one. I did a hike, like a week hike, and it was awful being at the end where you're just like, I smell me.
Week hike?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's not a thing.
It is a thing. People did it.
Why?
I don't know. It was a youth group thing, and I was like, whatever.
Of course it was a youth group thing.
It was in Colorado. It was nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we get the tree mail saying there's a challenge. We're going to go do that. And we show up to the immunity challenge. The favorites are like, yeah, we have food and fire and water, and it's great. And I forget who they asked. Was it the big guy?
Yeah.
They're like,
I don't believe that for a second.
Nope. Don't believe it. And everyone starts laughing at him. Like, no, we got it, buddy. Nice try.
And they do.
Yeah. And Johnny Fairplay says the title of the episode, you guys are dumber than you look. Got him. Anyway.
Fucking got him.
They have to build puzzle wheels to put on their cart that they have to then navigate through obstacles, in quotation marks, and then dig planks up from a sand pit where they used that to build a bridge. And then finally, once you get your cart there, you have to solve a puzzle and turn a giant wheel. It's very elaborate, this one.
I like this challenge a lot.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun, it's goofy. It almost killed multiple people.
Oh yeah, Liza got a concussion.
I don't know about concussion. She took a shot to the face.
Yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah. The favorite struggle in this, they can't figure out their puzzle wheels.
I will say, whenever he'd be like, favorites are behind, like saying it right in front of them, if I was one of the favorites and he kept saying that, I literally would have lost it and screamed at him.
Oh, people do.
I would have been like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm very competitive and also, like,
yeah,
a perfectionist.
Are.
So, having that at...
Penner being one of them.
Yes. John, the older guy, the older grouchier guy, has yelled at Jeff before and Shannon's like, can it, Jeff?
Me.
Yeah, so the fans, they rock through this. They struggle to get through the, like, fence portion. But as we determined... Did the favorites have to go through that fence portion?
I don't know. I don't think so. We didn't see them do it.
There wasn't like a separate fence
section.
Yeah, I
just saw them like almost break it and then they went over the...
Yeah. I don't know. Things I'd like to know, but the show will never tell me. Yeah, they... Like I said, the favorites crash their cart. Eliza takes a shot to the face. And Yaman is like literally holding his wheel together to try to keep it from when they were going over the bridge.
I think they broke the axle.
Probably.
Or something. Because, yeah, he had to literally, like, hold it in place so it would roll correctly.
Yep. And the fans take the lead and never look back, so they win. Well, anyway, we then just have to figure out who's going home. So we're back at our sections of four. But Johnny Fairboy's stuck in the middle. He misses his girlfriend. His girlfriend is having a baby. I want to get home to that baby.
Okay, out of wedlock, living in sin.
I think he is the least concerned with living in sin of any of us.
True. True. He might go towards it. He might be like, bathe me in more sin, please.
Give me the sin. It fuels me. Anyway, yeah.
Does it feel to you like this was pre-planned? Like, he was just like, I don't want to give up my spot, so I'm just going to come on the show and give up? Like, it just... I don't know, man. Some of this is weird.
He wanted that residual money for the one episode.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if they make residuals.
They don't.
Oh, mm. Damn.
Just no. Day rates. Okay.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. It's very sad. That means all that money goes to CBS.
Yeah.
They also don't replay Survivor episodes on TV. The streaming is different. But
that's true.
Eh. I don't know. That's a whole union argument that we don't have time for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, DVDs. Huh. Well... Who knows? Everyone kind of talks it out. Ozzy's like, hey, this humbled us.
Ceri says, anybody but me.
Yeah, anybody but me. Whatever. Penner's like, yeah, there's no shame in losing. The fans had more heart out there. Again, humbled us. They did better. So
it is interesting that they all sat in a circle and were like, here's what I bring to the tribe.
Yeah.
Where John Faber's like, I am but your humble court jester. And I think Ceri said, like, I wasn't... terrible. She's like, I can't swim, but I pulled my weight.
I was fine. Yeah? Yeah. Don't send me home. Great.
I did notice in this that Parv, her job in the last season she was on was like boxer, like basically like a what would you call that? Like where she's in scanty clothes and boxing.
Like a lingerie boxer?
Something like that. I don't remember what the job was. Something along those lines. Now she's a charity organizer. So
switch.
Good for her. Just interesting. It was in the section I saw that.
Yeah. Speaking of, Johnny Fairplay is like talking to Parv and is saying, maybe I want to go home. And Parv's like, yes, play that up. Do that. Tell them, the other four, that that's what you want to do. And then we can vote for them.
But we'll actually vote for you.
Because yeah. We hate you.
Yeah, and then the whole rest of this section is just people talking about he's a wild card. We don't know what he's going to do. I don't believe him for a second that he wants to go home. So until he actually is home, then we'll figure it out. So then Tribal happens.
Tribal set's really cool.
Yeah?
It being out in the ocean like that, pretty cool.
honestly, I was so distracted with us dunking on Johnny Fairplay this entire time that I didn't pay too much attention to the set. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, I was fake tanning as that was happening, and also listening to the Johnny insults.
Yeah, Jeff goes in, and Johnny Fairplay is trying to be like honest. I think he's trying to like give Jeff like, no, this is I really think I should go home, and I don't feel right here.
Do you think he's being genuine?
I don't know. Yes and no.
I think, and this is my take, and I'm going to email him after this and be like, tell me, what are your thoughts here? I think he was legitimately pulled in the direction of like, oh no, I maybe should be home for this.
Mm.
And he came in thinking he was going to play this bad boy role, like to the nth degree of what he tried to do before. And his heart wasn't in it.
Yeah.
And I think it shows in this episode that, like, he tries to commit early on, and then as the episode goes on, he's like, I can't do this. Send me home.
Please.
Yeah.
Get me out of here.
Yeah. So when the facade breaks, suddenly, I don't know if I can do this as me, or I don't know that I can do this knowing that back home, girlfriend's about to have a baby.
Yeah. If you had told me that he went home, somebody that was famously, like, a villain went home first, I'd be like, oh, like people saw a season and thought he was too much of a problem, or, you know, we gotta get rid of that guy, he's a snake. But to like kind of just quit is very surprising.
Yeah. And to the point where Jeff goes around and starts asking people, is this a quit? Is he quitting? And everyone's like, no, I don't think so.
They're like, we're not even sure that he doesn't have some type of weird ace up his sleeve that we don't know about.
Yep. So same idea. We're like, until he's actually there, we're waiting for that torch to be snuffed. Get him out of here. And he is. He's voted out in a sweep. He gone. And then immediately goes to hug the one person who goes on camera saying, don't hug me.
Yeah, James is not a hugger. He's made that very clear.
Except to Parv.
Well, that's different.
And then hugs Jeff, who also is kind of weird about hugs.
Yeah.
He gets better about hugs, though.
He shot a shot.
Yeah.
I respect it.
How do I feel about Johnny Fairplay playing today?
I think he'd always go home pretty early. I mean, he would have to be a very different person. It's hard on a quit to imagine how somebody would do again. Because, like, would they want to play again? I see why he doesn't come back for Heroes versus Villains now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeff hates his guts.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. The only direction you can go is like become more like genuine and more of yourself once your heart's not in playing this part. But people still won't believe you because you played this, you played up this like big personality on TV before. So I think he's probably always like a pretty early vote, like first, like at least pre-merge vote. Yeah.
No, I agree. With context of who he is and what he's done, I don't know that anyone can trust him.
Yeah.
Oops.
What was your impression of him only with this episode, having not seen the season the full season that he was in?
I was confused of how wishy-washy he was being from like this bravado he had in the first half of the episode to then being like, I miss my girlfriend and I should be there for the child.
You say that like that makes him a loser. Like, who cares about their girlfriend and kid?
I'm just saying, the switch in demeanor from him was like, oh. Because, again, when he was talking to me, like, I'm great at lying, I was like, okay. And then he was saying this, I'm like, are you lying about this too? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. It was confusing.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. All is valid. So this is the end of the line for Johnny Fairplay. So far, there's always 50.
There's always 50.
Your protagonist of the episode.
Johnny Fairplay. The entire episode is everyone talking about him.
Correct. Yep. And the big question, Jared. Who wins?
Well, first, Catherine, who do you think wins?
Yao Man.
Yao Man?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do love Yao Man.
He has to. Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be too much of a threat. I think people are going to see through like how good of a social threat he is. But maybe.
Let's put it this way, Catherine. Do you think the fans or the favorites stand a better chance right out of the gate?
The favorites.
Favorites?
I agree. The fans tribe just seems kind of bland to me.
Mm. Yeah.
There isn't a whole lot of like stars jumping out at me there.
Yeah, I was more invested in the favorites.
Yeah. We also got a lot more of them, but they're bigger personalities. They're the best of their seasons, and these are just some guys, which actually for the both of you, would you be kind of mad if you were cast just to be on a season and suddenly like the MVPs of their seasons are on the other side against you?
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
I said this to you
earlier,
but I actually think I'd be like, yes, cool. I know these people. I know how they played their last game. And even if they try to do things differently, I know what their default setting is.
They have so many advantages, though. They have, having played the game, they have the personal connections with each other from being in the Survivor circuit. And just like from outside of just like the actual game itself, like your opportunities to become a fan favorite are so much less on this season if you're a fan. Because, why would I... Like, Joel, is that his name, the big guy?
Yeah.
Joel is, we have James at home. Like, nobody's gonna give a shit about Joel because James is right over there.
Yeah.
But I dodged the question for long enough. I'm gonna say it's gonna be Ceree or Parv, which okay. I gotta pick one. I want it to be Ceree. I want it to be Ceree.
I mean, that was my first intuition, but I went with Yamin.
That's good. We diversified.
Mm-hmm.
One of us can be right.
Yeah.
But wait, only one of us. Probably.
Did you say Parv is your pick then?
No, Ceree.
Ceree is your pick.
Yeah.
Heard. Okay. Cool. Well then
I just really want it to be Ceree, so I'm gonna manifest that. That was my strategy for Panama and it almost worked.
Put it out into the world, see what happens. Alright. Then let's end the episode with a bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turn Back Time podcast. Thank you, Jared. But more importantly, thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you for having me.
For coming right after your audition to come hang out with us and record a Survivor podcast.
Late on a Wednesday night.
And having work since 7:30 in the morning.
Oh.
And then I went to the gym, and then I got my nails done, and then I went to the audition. Or then I watched this, then I went to the audition, and now I'm here.
My goodness.
Dear God.
Yeah, it's a lot. Anything you'd like to promote on your end?
No, because the show I'm in closes this weekend.
Ah, okay.
Who are you playing, Catherine?
I'm playing Lady Macbeth in the Scottish play.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, hold on. I want to back that up for 1 second. Because you say, does it not count for the superstition to say Lady Macbeth?
All the world's a stage, Stephen. All
right.
I mean, what am I going to say? Lady the Scottish play?
Lady M.
Possibly.
Yeah, whatever. I've said it enough that
yeah.
I don't care.
You can say it if you're doing it. That's like okay. The one. So for those of you that aren't steeped in the theater cult, there's a superstition that if you say Macbeth in a theater when you're not doing Macbeth, that it's bad luck.
If you say it 3 times, then he shows up behind you and drags you to the underworld?
Yeah, something like that.
In his striped pajamas?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, I was going Beetlejuice reference in case you didn't catch
it. Oh, I was thinking of Freddy Krueger, and I was like, I'm missing something here, but okay. First of all, we're not in a theater.
Yeah, so second it's of fine. All,
you can do it, if you can say it if you're doing the show, because you have to say it if you're doing the show. But I also, I do it all the time, where I'll say Mackers instead of Macbeth, because it feels weird after so long of not doing it. Yeah.
I hate when people abbreviate it to Mackers.
What? Why?
I don't, specifically because there's this one guy who I know, you know him too, I won't name him, but whenever he talked about doing that show, he's like, oh yeah, when I did Mackers, but like it was trying to be like a flex and like sounding cool, and it would just piss me off every time he would say it.
Well, I'll see it on Friday and I'll tell you if it's any, I'll let you know if it's any good.
There are moments that are good.
I feel like anyone who does that show says that exact phrase.
Yeah.
It's I a like tough show. Some of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a tough show.
We cut the Porter scene though, so I'm like, why?
Why would you do that? That's the best scene in the show.
I don't know.
It's so fun.
Jared, anything you'd like to promote?
Yeah.
just like pay attention to your tech stuff. Like I know people have, I've had friends that are suddenly following accounts they didn't want to be following on social media. There's a lot of, I was frankly like bootlicking of tech oligarchs in the last like week, and it's going to keep getting worse and weirder. So just like pay attention to what accounts you're making and services you're using and all of that. And just be vigilant, I guess. Nothing actionable. But I don't know, man. What about you, Steven?
I'm going to throw in the they, them. I'd like to promote the they, them. Just, you know, that exists.
I'm going to second what you said. And actually, according to the federal government, we're all women now.
I did see this post.
Because gender is chosen at conception, but actually everyone's a woman until at least 6 weeks into fetal development. So congratulations, you're all yassified.
For my co-host Jared and our special guest Catherine, this is Steven.
For my host Catherine and my special guest Steven, this is Jared.
Do I have to do this?
Sure.
No, if you don't want to.
Something, something, something. This is Catherine.
Nailed it. Bye-bye.